All right, we are here with our gorgeous friend here.
Jeffrey Boyer!
Do you want me to say it? Yes. Should we just clear it up for everybody?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
Because I always want to say Bauer.
Well, understandably.
How do you spell it? B-O-Y-E-R.
There you go. So it's like...
Boyer?
Boyer. Okay. So it's my mother's maiden name.
Like Boyer.
Right. Right. Like Boyer. That's the word I use.
That helps
Boyer,
a lot.
Lawyer, okay. Sawyer.
Jeffrey,
call me whatever you want to call
me. Boyer Chapman.
There you go.
And who, now when you got into show business, why the three names? Is it a SAG thing?
No, actually. Boyer is, on some legal documents, it's my middle name. Some, it's my last name. Boyer is my mother's maiden name. So, right. And Chapman is my father's last name.
So did you grow up hyphenated?
I grew up at a certain point. I started hyphenating it. I mean, as a kid, like as you know, a child, people just called me Jeff Chapman, and it never really felt like me. It wasn't until I got older and
well,
I started to really.
What's wrong with Jeffrey Chapman?
There's nothing wrong with Jeffrey Chapman. I guess I just wanted to pay homage to my mother
well.
Sweet. You know? And, you know, my nickname's always been JBC.
JBC.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like a network.
Do you like that?
Yeah. I got a new series this coming up on JBC.
Uh-huh. JBC. Ooh. Do you?
Yes, JBC this fall. Coming
it's
this fall.
It's funny that you hear that salacious. And I hear Run DMC.
Okay. Okay. Well, there
they
you go.
About the JVC vibrates the concrete.
Of course.
Oh, I like
that.
LL. Whatever. Yeah. One and the same.
Such a diehard fan that I don't even know.
Yes.
One
yeah. So I always thought it was important just to.
But help me understand why the three. I'm going to go back to the original question.
Mm-hmm.
Do not evade the question.
Okay, Ro.
Show business. Why three names?
It always felt like.
No, but is there a legal thing? Like,
no.
Is there another?
No,
there's
not a Jeffrey Chapman as far as I know.
And the SAG.
Yeah,
thing,
no,
right.
it was never about that. It was really, what the decision came down to was, is that I never ever really felt like myself as Jeff Chapman. As the abbreviated version of myself.
And that's
so
when
it
you
was,
transitioned.
It was people just, and that's when I transitioned. Yeah. Yeah. That's when I started taking my hormones.
Yeah.
It was when people, you know, started using my full name. And then my friends, when I found my tribe and my friends started referring to me as Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, the name just flowed for me and it felt right. It just felt like it fit. So it was, there was no legal reason behind it. It
but
wasn't
when you
SAG.
Got a, when you got into show business, were there people who said, oh, you know what? Three names. Huh?
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Yes, my agent mentioned it to me because I come across this quite often where people aren't quite sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
There you go.
Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
I'm so proud of you,
Jeffrey
Ruth.
Boyer. No, they're not difficult names. It's just that I have to think about them. I can't just toss it off.
And you can't look. Right. Well, yes, you can.
Well, I can try.
By all means.
Yeah. If you look at it, it'll screw you up. Because of the way Boyer spelled.
Absolutely. I remember the first thing that Ross Matthews said to me was, Boyer, well then why did you spell it wrong?
Exactly.
So now you're on the show Unreal.
I am,
which it broadcast on what network?
It's on Lifetime.
And it's on Lifetime. Third season you're going into?
We're going into third season, starting at the end of January, shooting up in Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver. And you're from Canada.
I am from Canada.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's from a place that he says very weird, and he's from there.
Oh, no. Okay.
Say it.
Calgary.
He says Calgary.
Okay, so I'm not from, but I'm not from Calgary. I lived there as a child. And yes, most people who are from there.
Don't they say Calgary?
Like Calgary.
Yeah.
Because like Calgary is how they pronounce it.
Yeah, Calgary.
Right.
Yeah, Calgary. Yeah.
But you're
so how'd
Calgary.
You get Calgary.
I don't know.
Do you
honestly?
Say Hungary?
No. I feel like there are, it's, you know. There's been like a very stereotypical Canadian accent that's been like portrayed in the media.
Yes,
and,
Brew. What's it? Strong Brew? Strange Brew?
Strange Brew.
Yeah, the brothers from, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or Kids in the Hall.
That was
and
a
like,
hit.
You know,
yeah.
All, you know. The.
I love Kids in the Hall.
I love Kids in the Hall.
Me too. The reality is that the accents in Canada vary just as wildly as they do in America.
Right.
The Canadian accent or the, you know, Californian accents. Exactly.
Yeah.
California is different than Texas, different than New York. So, you know, I feel like different people from different parts of the country will say Calgary or Calgary differently. But I grew up in Alberta. So it's what they refer to as the Texas of the North. It's a province that's it's quite far west. It's right next to British Columbia, right above Montana.
It's is Calgary in Alberta?
Calgary's in Alberta. So so Calgary
provinces
and Edmonton.
Provinces screw me up.
I know,
what
me too.
The province, the way that they do provinces there.
Girl, I can't.
But there are only a few. I mean, the thing is, here in America, we have so many different states and stuff.
That's true.
They've got, what,
but the
five?
Way they do
no,
it.
I think it's 13, and I like, please don't ask me to list all of them because I don't even know.
Okay, let's try together. There's Ontario. There's
Vancouver.
There's Ontario. British Columbia is where Vancouver is. There's Alberta.
Ottawa.
Ottawa's in Ontario. Michelle, you're throwing it so hard right
Quebec.
Now. Quebec.
Thank
Quebec.
You.
Yes.
How is do you say Quebec and not Quebec?
I think it must be a regional accent thing.
What is this, a windy
Quebec.
Interview or something?
I don't want to know.
You're so funny. Manitoba. Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Northwest Territories.
Okay, and Nova Scotia is in what?
These are the Maritimes. The Maritimes are all of the furthermost eastern provinces in Canada, and they're the islands. Right. And their accents kind of sound Irish a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Newfoundland.
St. John's Wort.
Yes, yeah, something like that. St. John's Wort.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't trust him. I always knew he had warts. That's St. John.
There are black people in Alberta?
Now that I'm gone, I don't think so. honestly. So I was adopted as a child. I was born in Alberta. My father is Jamaican from Jamaica, my biological father. My mother is Caucasian. Her family's from the UK, but I believe they ended up in Canada in the Maritimes.
You're talking biological or adoptive parents?
My biological. So they met, had me, gave me up for adoption when I was 12 days old in Edmonton, Alberta, which is just a couple of hours north of Calgary. And I was adopted by my phenomenal family. So my mother, my adopted mother, who as well is white, and my adopted father, who is mixed race, black, had adopted a little girl named Jordan 3 years before me. And then they adopted me. In that process, they were trying to get pregnant. And when I was about 2 years old, my mother did get pregnant, but then lost the baby to a tubal pregnancy.
It's my identical story.
Really?
I was adopted 3 years later. My brother was adopted. My mother had miscarried when she was pregnant when I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. I remember the ambulance coming because it was terrible.
I don't remember.
You said a tubal.
His mother was tubal. My mother just miscarried. I don't know if it was tubal or ectopic or anything.
I was too young to remember. I think I was only 2 years old when that happened, but I don't have any memory of it, but just, you know, knowing what my life could have been like had things gone south in that situation, I think I would be a very different person. My mother has deeply shaped and influenced the person that I am today.
Aww.
Right.
Very
wait. So if your life had gone south, if what?
It was the tubal pregnancy. Apparently she had to undergo a very intense surgery.
Where she
lost a lot of blood and was on the verge of death. So,
oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah. So just thinking, you know, so my parents split up when I was 3 years old, and just thinking, I spent, the weeks with my mother and every second weekend with my father, and thinking what my life would have been like had I, you know, only had my father and not had my mother's influence. I'm very aware. I don't know if it's an adopted child thing. I think that growing up, I always have, using my imagination, I always think of what my life could have been like had I gone down this path or that path. What it would have been like had I not been adopted, if I had been raised by my biological family.
And you've met your biological family?
So I've met a few members of my biological family. When I was 21, I got my non-identifying adoption information from the Government of Canada. And a friend of mine, her father is a private investigator, and he tracked down my biological father and one of my brothers. In that moment, I found out that I had 13 siblings, or I'm one of 13. I'm not quite sure. The numbers are still a little bit up in the air. But I've only met 3 of my siblings. I have not yet chosen to meet my biological father, and I can't seem to quite track down my biological mother. Mm. But the 3 siblings I've met are beyond a dream come true. The physical similarities
are... Are they in Canada?
No, my little brother Cleon is in Miami. He plays
Cleon,
Cleyon, Cleon Lang.
I love it.
Yeah, so he lives in Miami. He plays for the Miami Dolphins.
Sanders, I know him.
Oh yeah, I've heard of him.
And 2 of my siblings, Kevin and Kayla, live up in Canada still, in Alberta. Yeah, and I
haven't met the rest. Well, as soon as you said that a friend of yours was a private investigator, my first thought was of Magnum P.I. in those little shorts.
I knew you were going to say that.
First thought was Magnum P.I. looking for your parents. He's wearing these little bitty shorts and Hawaiian shirt.
That's amazing.
And you can see some of the hair from his chest poking through. Oh, my God.
Well,
yeah.
And a parka, though, because this was in Canada. So they get a little bit cold in those shorts.
He's a tough private eye. I think if anybody could do it in those little shorts,
it would be Magnum.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think it's something else entirely when I hear the word Magnum.
Yeah. We'll
save
Magnum
that for another show.
So now Jeffrey, so your breakthrough has really been on this show Unreal. And what were you doing before Unreal?
What was I doing before Unreal? Right before Unreal, I had actually taken a break from acting.
How long have you been acting?
I just turned 32 on Friday, and I did my first movie when I was 21. So
32 on Friday. So of course this is. So are you Scorpio or Libra?
I'm Libra on the cusp of Scorpio. Yes, and you are a Scorpio.
I am a Scorpio.
All the way.
I think I have. You know, the stinger can come out when necessary, but for the most part,
Let's hope so.
Oh, I can take care of myself. For sure. I feel like so as a Canadian growing up in Canada, I feel like I didn't really have those Scorpio qualities in my character at all. But then I've lived in New York for the past 6 years, and that's definitely brought it out in me.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, you took some time off from acting.
Yeah.
Right. So,
21 years old. What was your first movie?
So, my first movie was called Shock to the System. Uh-huh. It was starring Morgan Fairchild.
Yes!
Morgan Fairchild.
Yes!
And Chad Allen and myself. So, it was essentially, the storyline was about a gay reparation therapy. So, Morgan Fairchild was playing the therapist
do we really need a storyline with Morgan Fairchild and Chad Allen?
Really?
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. All you have to do is just sit back and stare.
Just watch. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So she was playing a therapist who practices gay reparation therapy and shock therapy to try to turn the gays back to straight, set them right in their ways.
So her character was sort of this villainous, that's hot. She's good at that.
She was great, So that in that moment, I mean, that was how I booked that movie. It was like kind of like a Lana Turner moment. I was sitting in a restaurant and a director came up to me and asked me to read for the film, and I really didn't take it. I kind of took it with a grain of salt.
Were you wearing a tight sweater?
I was.
Were you drinking a milkshake?
It was very form-fitting. Huh? Well, yeah. I really didn't take it seriously in the moment, but I went to a concert that night and came home, and in my email were the sides and read over it, and the part was written for like a 35-year-old muscly, big, burly black man. And I thought, why are they asking me to come in and read? I was a 21-year-old little skinny fashion model. And I walked in the room the next morning thinking, what have I got to lose?
I sashayed
into the room. Uh-huh. I pranced into the room and there were five big, burly, muscly 35-year-old black men waiting to read. And I was like, what am I doing here? And so I sat down.
Oh, you were dessert.
I was dessert. It's the cherry on top. I sat down and tried to get still with myself. And, after a few minutes, I was like, there's no sense in me being here. So I grabbed my bag and got up to leave and was like physically out the door. And I heard my name being called. So I poked my head back in the door and it was the casting director saying, we're ready for you. And I thought, fuck it. What have I got to lose? So I went in and read. And by the time I was done the last scene, the director was crying and he came over to me and said, you don't leave town. You just saved my film.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know what I did. I can't tell. I don't know if I could ever repeat what I did in that room, but it was.
Well, and based on that story, what you did is you stuck around for the blessing to actually happen. I mean, think about that. How many times people sort of talk themselves out of an opportunity?
You're right. All the time.
You know?
You're right.
And that's really the takeaway from that whole story. Storyline there. It's amazing.
Thanks, Rue. Yeah, I really did. I feel like in that moment, I genuinely felt like I had nothing to lose and I just let go. I completely surrendered and I was fully present and I just let whatever flow through me that flowed through me and it seemed to have some sort of effect or impact.
And this is in New York?
No, actually, this was in Vancouver.
In Vancouver.
Yeah, so I was living in Vancouver for a few years and this is where I got my start in TV
Vancouver.
And film. I do too.
Yeah. I love Vancouver.
Yeah, especially in the summer months.
Oh, it's
gorgeous and sunny.
Such a beautiful city.
Yeah.
And such a mixture of people, Pan-Asian, brown skin, every culture is
not,
there.
Not many black folk up there, to be honest with
you.
Which honestly,
But that's changing.
Where's the black area of Canada?
More Eastern Canada, like Toronto has a very
Toronto,
large,
yeah.
has a large
See,
black population.
It's so funny because we go to Canada a lot. Yeah. The girls go to Canada a lot.
Yeah.
And people always talk about Toronto. I love Toronto. Toronto's a great city, but you can give me Vancouver over Toronto any day.
I couldn't agree more.
You know why? It's because the terrain. I always love a city that has ocean views
yes.
and cliffs and coves
yes.
and hills. It's got it all.
Yeah, Toronto's not nearly as right. aesthetically beautiful.
My
mother is actually from Vancouver and my father's from Toronto, so I had experiences of both while growing up. So I I somehow ended up in Vancouver, but it was the right choice for me. And having there not be a very large black population in Vancouver, it worked to my advantage,
sure.
really, because I had the monopoly in the entertainment industry.
Right.
If they needed, you know, a black role on one of the many TV shows and films that shot up there, I was kind of the go-to guy. So that's really where I got my start.
You know, I was doing a TV movie up there, and this is back when I used to smoke weed, and I was crossing the border, and the dogs
sniffed you out.
Sniffed me out.
Oh,
they said,
no.
Come here, Mr. Paul. We have something to say. And, of course, in the bottom of my bag, I had all of these roaches. Not insect roaches, but weed
the bottom
roaches.
Of joints, the end of joints.
Yes. And they were so sweet. They said, we're going to let you go, but, you know, you have to realize this could really jeopardize your chance, because they wouldn't have let me in to do this job,
right?
You know, and I would have had that on my record.
Totally.
Try being on a tour bus with Jinx Monsoon.
Gosh.
Odor Delano.
Okay.
Laganja Estranja.
No.
No,
who's on the tour? Sharon Needles.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend, Chad.
Okay.
I mean, it was all them. Latrice, like all them.
Uh-huh.
And then if we were lucky enough to have a bus driver that said, get rid of it now.
Yeah.
Next stop is the border. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they smelled it, they couldn't find it.
Sure.
But it's, you're 100% right. It is, you have to clean out everything.
Go through every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Every pocket.
Yeah. Because those dogs will find it.
Yeah, they will. And I was very lucky. They let me go because they were fans. And this would have been 19, maybe 97.
So Chad got busted on our way.
The boyfriend?
The boyfriend of Sharon.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Got busted. And it was not intentional. Like, forgot about it. What,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it took us about 3 hours to get through all the paperwork and everything.
Wow.
And they ended up not, I think maybe giving him a fine, but not.
How many boyfriends travel with you guys?
Just Chad, because Chad ended up becoming, Chad's amazing, and he became a tour assistant. So he didn't actually work for Sharon. He was on the tour even when Sharon wasn't on the tour. She was only on for a certain amount of time.
Right.
Chad stayed on it. Normally, we don't have others because it's a tour bus.
You know, you guys should actually probably hire someone as just a boyfriend, the tour boyfriend.
Great idea.
I mean, you can hire me.
Yeah.
I'm up for grabs.
I don't know if your boyfriend would be happy about it.
Well, my boyfriend could come along. We could have dual tour boyfriend.
There you go.
Some tours have a masseur. Some people have a chef.
A chef, a masseur, and we need a whore. So.
Yeah.
Chef. The tour whore.
A tour whore.
Well, if you got the money, I got the time.
Yeah.
It's
not really a bad idea.
I can give you a bung.
Yeah,
about
that'll
money.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as I can go above you, Michelle.
Anytime. Yeah. You can always go above me, Jeffrey.
So we've got Jeffrey Boyer Chapman here from the TV show Unreal. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Our favorite.
I love them. You know, making a website has never been easier. You can make a gorgeous website in minutes. Minutes! Using their beautiful templates and simplistic drag and drop technology.
There's nothing easier than a drag and drop.
Honey,
trust me, I've been doing it for years.
Yeah. Hey, kids, when you're ready to purchase a plan, get 10% off with the offer code RU. Squarespace.com, offer code RU. No, we don't want to talk about anything that's not being recorded on the air.
I'm like, I don't know how much I'm allowed to give away right now.
Oh, my goodness. No. No, you wanted to talk about the Suzanne Summers thing? Because we were actually out at her house in Malibu.
Yeah.
You could hear the ocean in the back.
Yeah, I could hear it. I know. I was so impressed. It was such an amazing episode.
Yes.
I've listened to every episode of What's the Tea. Let's just be clear.
Why?
Oh, my gosh. Why? Because there's something about it that just really resonates with me. I mean, I love to listen to audiobooks and to online radio. Hey House HeyHouseRadio.com is one of my favorites.
What's it called?
HeyHouseRadio.com.
Hey. Oh, so Hey House.
Like Hey House.
Like Louise Hay.
Yeah. Louise Hay. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a 24-hour online radio program.
Self-help. And
how do you find Hey House Radio?
Hey.
You add a .com to it and you are good to go. HeyHouseRadio.com. It's 24-hour live streaming.
I love her. You know, I 20 years ago, I was listening to her. Probably more, actually. This is 1990. Mm-hmm. Listening to her audio on cassette.
Yes.
I'm just...
You Can Heal Your Life.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
I would go to sleep to it every night. Mm-hmm. I would put it in a tape recorder and just fall asleep to it. And I still do that today with my Eckhart Tolle
books. Love Eckhart Tolle.
Yes, and there's if you go onto the podcast app on iTunes, you can also find the Hey House Meditations, and she's got a whole bunch. She's got Doreen Virtue, who does all the angel card readings.
Yes,
I love her.
Yes.
Deepak Chopra. There's James Von Prague, Dr. Wayne Dyer.
I love Dr. Wayne Dyer.
And relax and listen to those.
Love it. Do you know what it is? I think what I've always been drawn to, whether it's like an audio version of a memoir. Essentially, I've always been drawn to people's personal stories and personal accounts since I was a child. I've always found this this extraordinary beauty and power and magic in listening to other people's journeys and realizing that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And when I can hear somebody else's tale of where they started their path to where they've gotten to now, I can look at it and more often than not say me too and connect to it. And I think there's something really powerful in that for me, coming from such a small town and really humble beginning. But always having these huge dreams and this massive vision that I would be living the life that I'm living today, you know, the outside world that I was seeing around me didn't reflect anything that I was seeing in my imagination. So I had to look to outside sources. I had to look to other people's stories, people who I admired and people who, you know, in many ways were just very normal people who had accomplished extraordinary things. Maya Angelou changed my whole world when I stumbled across her memoirs, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and A Song Flung Up to Heaven. Just reading the story of this woman who I have such a deep admiration and respect for, and somebody who has, you know, lived an incredibly authentic life and shines her light and shines her beauty everywhere she goes, but is by no means perfect, has made many mistakes along the way, and is incredibly unapologetic about owning up to those mistakes. Hearing people's accounts like that and knowing that, okay, I fucked up just like them. I've made, you know, poor choices just like they have, but that's not going to be a hindrance or stop me from being the person that I know that I have the potential to be or getting to the place that I know that... That I know that I will be one day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it was really, for me, it was like, it was Hey House Radio, they focus a lot on raising your vibrational frequency and, you know, living your authentic life, trying
How
to be the best
you
version
raise
of yourself.
How do you raise your vibrational frequency?
Myself, personally, I practice Nichiren Buddhism. So they call it the Tina Turner Buddhism.
Yeah.
The what's love got to do with it, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo.
Yeah, yeah.
Chanting.
Eat the cake anime.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What did you call me?
So I'm gonna talk about that, but
this is an ADHD conversation.
No, that's how we speak.
Okay, cool.
But this is the thing. Okay, so you're this adopted kid, and you are, you know, artistic. You're beautiful.
Thank you. Ro.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And so, you know. How did you get to this spot right here? Now you're talking about all of this self-awareness and you know, Louise Hay and all the spiritual things. Mm-hmm. Talking about, you know, Zen Buddhism. Is that what you're saying? You're practicing
Nichiren Buddhism.
Nichiren Buddhism.
There you go.
I think I went to high school with that girl.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
She's got pretty hair.
Oh yeah, she's Nietzsche with the good hair.
You know. So how did you find? Most people don't follow this path, or it takes them a long time to get here.
Yeah.
How did you do that? Is it that you were adopted? Does that have anything to do with it?
No.
I know a lot of adopted kids, and Michelle's an adopted kid. They just try harder.
Yes. They want to please everybody.
They want to please. They want to belong somewhere. They're looking. And maybe it's an innate looking for the parents, looking for their purpose.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I think that it's certainly attributed to my, insatiable curiosity for life. I've always been one to ask questions and be very inquisitive and just searching for something more. But I think, honestly, Rue, I think so much of it had to do with, like what I said, was just growing up where I grew up and growing up in a really small little farm town of less than 2,000 people, where I was the only person of color, where mm-hmm. I was the only person who was identifiably gay, and I've always known that I was gay, and I've never had issues with it, but people
was
always...
Was it the assless chaps?
It was, that added to it, yeah. For sure, absolutely, yeah.
It's always a giveaway.
It sure
yeah,
is.
When I would ask for training bras for Christmas, my parents would just,
I had to ask for training bras too, and I never grew out of it either.
It was the fact that I never really, I knew there was more out there. I think it goes back to, you know, for me, it was like a Wizard of Oz type story where my whole world was in black and white, and I knew that there was a Technicolor existence out there, and all I had to do was find it. I knew it existed. I knew it wasn't anywhere near where.
But how does one find it? Right? So.
Okay. So I believe that I am here in this space with the two of you because we vibrate on a similar frequency.
Break it down. Let the church say amen.
I believe that we as human beings all vibrate on different frequencies, some of us higher, some of us lower, but I believe that the through line throughout the entire universe vibrates on a very high frequency, and it is our job to try to match that and then go with the flow of life, go towards what makes you feel good and go towards what makes you feel whole and like the truest version of yourself. And when you find that, go towards that and don't compromise that and hold that vision and talk about it. Dream out loud and move towards it on a daily basis, even if one day it's an inch and the next day it's a mile, as long as you keep moving
sometimes
towards
that frequency.
Sometimes it's 10
inches.
Sometimes
If you're lucky. On a good night.
Yeah, that's what it's about for me. So when you've always been in my consciousness, obviously. I mean, you're a household name. You've been, since I was a child, I've known who RuPaul was.
I am actually your real mother.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Actually, and I am your real father.
I thought she was, well, that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Mama, I just missed you.
I want to stop you right there because we want to talk about this. Okay. But I just pulled out my doTERRA.
I saw this.
What is this?
It looks like a tincture? It looks like it's in a popper's bottle.
Yeah.
But it's actually not.
It's essential oil.
And this is not, they're not a sponsor, by the way.
Is this the defense?
This is called On Guard.
On Guard,
and
right.
it's called Protective Blend by doTERRA.
Did you put this under your tongue?
I put it on my tongue. Unfortunately, it got a little bit on my lip.
And it stings.
Oh, no.
But I'm going to put some in the palm of your hand.
Please.
Just a drop.
Yeah.
And
please.
I'm going to put a drop. And then you just rub your hands like that. Okay. And it absorbs into your body.
But you can also inhale it. And it's really good for coating every lung.
Oh, this is incredible. Yeah, After listening, thank you. After listening to the Suzanne Summers episode of What's the Tea, I was really...
Rub your hands real hard there.
I could
really,
see
you want some, Michelle?
Really reconsidering what I put on my skin. I really didn't realize the importance of it.
Yeah.
Me, I still get nerves when I sing, especially. When I host and when I talk, it's not as bad, believe it or not. But when I go to perform, maybe it's because of the vulnerability, because I don't think I'm as good as everybody else. Maybe all that shit. But that's what happens. So maybe for the kids out there that struggle with what I do, when you could see the nerves, you can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's because you think they're going to judge you the way you judge other people.
Maybe.
That's what that ever is. So,
and you're bearing your soul.
If you take that part, if you take that away from the equation that people are judging or that they're going to love you no matter what, then you can do nothing but relax.
Do you know what my ritual is?
What is it?
It kind of goes back to the talking about mediums. And
does this involve gerbils?
It's... Just one, though. Oh, okay. I learned that lesson the hard way.
Pooping is a part of the ritual.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the nervous poop.
Oh, gotta do it.
We're only human.
Yeah.
I truly believe that whenever I go out on stage or when I'm on set or in a situation like this, I believe that I am not by myself, that I call on the strength of source energy and of my 10,000 ancestors who came before me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whether I know them or not, I call upon the spirit of Maya Angelou, if need be, honestly. Uh-huh. And I just, you know, I tap into that source, and I show up and I do my part and then I let go.
Yeah.
But guys, this is all beautiful. But
how?
In the real world, like for me, I just did West End Bears when I was in London. Uh-huh. And because I knew I was singing for something that means so much to me, the theater and Broadway and West End, and it's been my dream since I was a fetus. For me, it was like, and it didn't even really matter. It didn't matter, just like you said, because I was just going to be me. And as much talking myself off the ledge as I was doing, I was a wreck. I performed it great.
Of course
you did.
But I
was so nervous. I was trying to get my stance and I was just shaking.
But that's your choice though.
You know, how is it your choice? When you tell these kids, I can call on all archangels, I can do everything I want, but I'm still a fucking wreck.
Do you know, I think that meditation is the main tool in all of this. I feel like that if you can incorporate a meditation that works for you in your daily life, because I think that there are many different meditations and some are going to work for certain people and some aren't, you have to find what works for you, that where you can bring yourself back to that place of groundedness and being present and still mm-hmm. and connecting to source mm-hmm. and then adding all the layers on top of that.
That is a perfect, that is great advice. In fact, I'm going to talk more about this. We're going to take a real quick break, but I want to ask you about your Shaka Khan Buddhism.
Yes.
And you are so stupid. I hate you so much.
And I want to talk about this idea of seeing yourself from outside of yourself.
Yeah.
So
okay.
we'll take a real quick break. Hey, let's talk about the delicious food at Blue Apron.
I'd love to.
Now, what's your favorite thing to cook over there?
Here's the thing with Blue Apron. They give you a whole bunch of different things. They have this pizza, this flatbread pizza, this with feta and peppers. It's amazing.
Oh.
Obviously, I can't eat it because of the gluten, but my kids went in. They loved it. They also have this shrimp taco thing, and they do so many good things in Blue Apron. Listen, I'm telling you meals that I never would have made on my own.
Yeah.
So not only does it show up at your front door in a recyclable box with everything in there, you take out the ingredients. Everything is in there. I think the only thing is not is your cooking oil in your pan.
Wow.
The garlic, like all the seasonings, everything is there. Salt and pepper you need too. Everything is in there. It's step by step. You have a card.
Mm-hmm.
You choose which one you're going to make. The rest goes in your fridge. Then you put it step by step. They tell you exactly what to do. You cannot mess it up. You can save the recipe for later. The stuff is really fresh, really high quality ingredients. Like, it's local, so if it's winter here, you're going to get winter vegetables.
I see.
They're not forcing the garbage from, that shouldn't be in your meal.
Right. Well, it sounds so delicious. In fact, upcoming meals include shrimp and shiitake mushroom dumplings.
Yes.
How good does that sound? Butternut squash risotto and masala spiced chicken. Oh, that sounds so good.
Best part, Rue, less than $10 a meal.
You're kidding.
I feed my family of four for less than $10 a meal.
That is outrageous and so welcome to so many families. Then you don't have to get in the car and drive and look for parking and, do all this tipping and all this stuff. This is brilliant.
And you don't have to think about a thing because it's right there in front of you. You're telling you what to make. You just do what it says. You eat it and you're done. And the best thing is you can get your first three meals free if you check it out. And also check out this week's menu. Free shipping. Free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/Rue. blueapron.com/RU. It's Blue Apron, you guys. It's going to change your life. And of course, it's a better way to cook.
Hey, Michelle, let's talk about Squarespace.
I mean, I can think of nothing better to talk about.
They're so wonderful. They really are the epitome of why it's such a great time to be alive on this planet.
Really?
You can create websites on your own. Remember years ago you had to hire someone to do it?
Yeah, and it cost you a kidney and your bank account?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
And then you felt guilty about calling them up to change something or move something around.
Ridic.
Well, you don't have to do that anymore because that is a relic of the 20th century. Welcome to the 21st century. Squarespace is the place to go to create your own website.
Yep. And you get a free trial with no credit card required just by going to squarespace.com. And when you're blown away and you're ready to do it, you could do the offer code RU. But honey, here's the thing. If you always dreamt about what to do, like how do I further myself, my career, whether you're a performance artist, an artist, a painting, whatever your medium is, a designer or whoever, even if you're a business person.
Sure.
Squarespace is the place and the way to do it. It's not only affordable, it's super friggin' easy.
So easy. We get so many letters from people who have had such a beautiful experience in creating their own websites. Listen to this one. We got what letter you have there?
This one I have from Mighty Bear. It says, "Hi, Rue and Michelle. First, thank you for everything you do. You're a true inspiration. A little bit about me. I'm Mighty Bear, an Icelandic drag artist. I wouldn't have the courage to do this and truly be me if it weren't for your words. Because of you, we've created a hugely successful drag troupe, the only one in Iceland, by the way. We're celebrating our first birthday soon, and a huge shout out from Drag Sugar, which I think they spell it the way that you would. wood in Icelandic, S-U-G-U-R. But the website is mightybearmusic.com. So if you check out mightybearmusic.com, you could see Drag Sugar and everything that they're doing. So congratulations to you, kids.
Right on. I love hearing that. Can't wait to check out that website. Now, kids out there, when you're ready to create your own website, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code RU. Jeffrey Boya Chapman is
RuPaul
with us.
Andre Charles.
Yes,
Michelle,
yes.
What's your middle name? Leanne?
Lynn.
Lynn. Oh, that's my mother's maiden or middle name.
It's the middle name that everybody gives their kid when they
totally.
can't think of anything.
Randy.
It's either Marie or Lynn.
Yeah, it's a place saver.
Yeah.
You know, but
Lynn.
You know, what would your middle name be if you had... Could choose it yourself, Michelle.
I don't even feel like I'm a Michelle. Do I look like a Michelle?
Oh, you are a Michelle.
Yes, you are a Michelle.
So?
Yeah, you are a Michelle.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't
you
feel like I embody.
Maybe you're
even
Michelle Lee. Maybe you could
Michelle
be.
There already is a Michelle Lee.
What's a porn star? What, Michelle?
Lynn.
Oh, gosh.
Ginger Lynn.
Yeah.
Amber Lynn.
No, but like.
I don't watch straight porn, so
I'm Michelle
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my story about when I first started singing when I was little? I played the organ by myself. Not that organ. The actual organ. Wise asses. I saw where you were going.
I didn't even have time to give it a punchline.
I saw where you were going. I had to cut that shit off. I renamed myself Mickey Lynn. And that was going to be my country name. Isn't Mickey Lynn the perfect country singer name?
Girl.
Isn't it the perfect country name?
You are Michelle, though.
It sounds funny, though. It sounds like you'd be a comedy.
I am Mickey Lynn.
Well, it sounds like, you know, like Minnie Pearl, you know?
Okay, I could do
like
both. I'll be a comedic country singer.
Yeah.
Mickey
Lynn.
There's something really sexy about the name Michelle, honestly.
You do?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Michelle Pfeiffer. I don't know if it's,
well,
if it's that's why I associate it with the
never
name
felt
Michelle.
Like a Michelle.
No.
My middle name would be something like Lana or... Wasn't that Veronica?
Isn't that what you were going to name your
Lola
your
was
going to
be Lana, but she ended up with Lola.
Yeah.
Michelle, you see, the L's, you have to be careful with the L's. Michelle Lynn actually works.
That's what I mean. That's why any Michelle, Alana, Michelle.
No, but not Alana, because you have to stop.
Michelle, Alana.
Michelle, Alana.
Lily, Lana,
Michelle,
Layla, Lola.
I've learned a lot about names since listening to you, by the way.
Yeah.
Learning what flows and what doesn't.
It has
and
to flow.
So I understand the question about Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, why I decided to keep
Jeffrey
the name.
Chapman flows.
Jeffrey Chapman does
Jeffrey
flow.
Jeffrey Boyer flows.
It doesn't really feel like me, though.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you're saying that you don't really know if you feel like, if you're a Michelle.
Yeah.
Jeffrey is questionable for me. As years have gone on, I've kind of felt more and more comfortable with the name.
I love that name, Jeffrey.
Wasn't me. Thanks.
No, you're definitely more Jeffrey than you are Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey.
My birth name was actually Christopher. So before I was adopted, my biological mother named me Christopher.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
but that's her energy.
That
Your
is
mom
her
needs
energy.
Her energy.
I know.
Like,
right.
I wasn't named.
You weren't.
My mother didn't name me. I asked her one of the first things I met her.
Well, wait, so who named you?
Marlene.
Okay, all right.
The story goes, when Joanne gave birth to me, when you have an adopted child, you're not the child is supposed to be taken from you at birth, and that's it.
Yes.
They
if,
made a mistake. The nurse didn't know that I was being put up for adoption, and she brought me in to be fed by my mother.
Yes.
So my mother's energy was the first energy that held me.
Me too.
And then she had to after she fed me, give me away.
Oh,
me too. Dear.
Isn't that
dear.
Interesting? I don't know about the feeding
that's
part, but
insane.
I was
that we're the same person.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, though, right?
It does.
When it comes to vibrational frequencies
the connection.
And law of attraction and la. You, when I met you, I just felt immediately
the
connection was undeniable, without question. And just incredibly disarming. And
yes,
I felt
we
like
met
I've
at a dinner party.
Uh-huh.
Jeffrey and his boyfriend.
Yes.
And I love his boyfriend as well. And it was amazing.
All right, so now I want to get back to this thing of, now you brought up the idea of meditating.
Yes.
Yes.
And Michelle was talking about auditioning or going on stage and feeling really nervous. I think this is what I think about the being nervous thing. It has to do with, first of all, imagining, going outside of your body and imagining what other people are thinking of you. Because if you're in the moment, you're just in the moment, you're doing your thing, you're prepared. You're not even thinking about what other people have to say about your performance.
It's a fear.
And it's a fear, and it's also
insecurity.
An acquired taste. It's something that people do because they think that that's part of it. When that is not a part of it, then you could actually be in the moment and be of service yourself.
That's exactly it.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
And I know that cognitively. And we're sitting here and we're discussing it.
Uh-huh.
But when my physical body ends up on that stage, and I think it all comes from self-worth.
Okay.
Not having enough self-worth, not feeling I'm worthy
of being
on that stage.
I disagree. I believe you're obsessed with the feeling of, oh,
I hate that feeling, Rue.
But no, I think secretly there's this feeling of, I gotta prove myself. Now, maybe if I get so nervous, I can will myself into doing really good, and that this is part of the whole idea of it. You know, my analogy of years ago, when I used to be late to places, I ultimately realized that I was addicted to the feeling of having to rush to the place. It wasn't, I had plenty of time. I realized that the addiction, the attraction
was to the rush.
But, and then when I took that away, when I took the addiction to the rush out of it, I could get to any place on time. I'll come early.
So this is about me at this moment. Mm-hmm. But it's really about the people out there that are listening that suffer the same thing that I suffer.
No, it's about you. No, this is an intervention.
You give me the intervention, I'll take it. And I'm going to hear what you have to say.
But it's one and the same, isn't it? I mean, I feel like it goes back to like to Hay House Radio and listening to memoirs. It's like when you hear one person's personal account, you realize that
that's all the same.
Yeah. That's me.
Yeah, we're not separate from one another. We're one thing.
Yeah. It's a collective consciousness.
And I hear what you're saying. The only thing I can cognitively aware disagree with is I don't like the rush. I hate it. It's years and years of anxiety that's still there that I've worked really hard to get rid of. That's still there.
Okay.
I don't want that there.
Have you tried meditation?
I don't do it enough. I'll randomly do it in spurts.
So there
it's
you
my
go.
Fault.
So I think that is a key to the issue as well, because what meditation really achieves is changing the neural pathways in your brain.
Which is what I need.
To do that, there has to be a consistency, right? It's like muscle memory. You have to build the muscle
and
you have
to
stick with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the exact same thing. And if you don't do that, we are all going to fall back on our old negative, damaging.
So you believe daily meditation, even if we start at 5 minutes, let's say, and then we work up to 20.
Without question.
Right.
I mean, you could start with affirmations. You could start with positive personal affirmations. Mm. You know, I am enough. I am worthy. Mm. I am whole. I am loved. I love.
Stuart Smalley. Got it.
Right. Yeah. No, really, though. You really could start that small and then build from there.
I teach my kids to do that, but you're right. You just hit something.
In those moments, I am
it's
safe.
It's consistency.
Yes.
Because I don't do it. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, yeah, I want to meditate. For me, dealing with the thoughts, I have some great apps. And believe it or not, this sounds so stupid. And I complain about technology, but there's OMG, I can meditate. There's some really great meditation apps out there that are guided meditation. That's what I need, because that stops those other things coming in, and I can just focus on what's happening.
You know, Michelle, as you're saying this, I know you in other areas where other people would be nervous, but you are like a pro. You get it done, and it's the exact same thing. You know, when we do Drag Race, we do promos on the panel, and some big stars will do their promos for the panel, and Michelle will read the script, and then I see her prepare, get into her radio voice, and go, hey, this is Michelle Visage, and coming up on Thursday, we've got the so-and-so, and you hear that radio voice, she's like on it. She doesn't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. And you know why she's able to do that? Because she knows how to do it.
Right.
And the same is true as West End Bear. It's the exact same thing. The same energy that adjusts you to go, you know, what do I have to be nervous about? I'm a friggin' pro. I know how to do it. I'm Michelle Van Versailles.
Absolutely.
I'm Michelle Van
Versailles. Right.
Oh, my God.
It's the exact same thing. There's no difference. And I've talked about this time when a therapist years ago told me, she said, Rue, you know, the super energy that you have when you're in drag, your Superman energy when you're in drag, you know, that's available to you when you're out of drag.
Yes.
And I was like, what?
Mind blowing.
What?
Wow.
She said, yeah. And it didn't occur to me. Same as Dorothy. You know, you could have clicked your heels any time. She's like, what? What? Yes, you can do it. But that's why meditation is so important, because it allows you to go outside of yourself and look at yourself, your physical self, and understand where your shortcomings are, where you are fearful, and then once you look at that fear, you realize that you have a relationship to that fear. It's part of an identity. It's part of like, well, if I'm not nervous before I go on stage, well, then who am I?
Right.
And some people say, well, if you're not nervous before you go on stage, you've lost it. It's like, no, that's not true, actually. You actually know how to do it.
Because I've always heard that. And the whole Sammy Davis Jr. story of, he said the day he stops getting butterflies is the day he stops performing.
But I think he actually meant real butterflies. You know, he was a freak. I mean, physically.
Hard to digest.
Yeah,
right.
Hard to eat.
So
delicious.
Who do exactly. I pay my copay to?
I think for me, what it took for me to get out of that, you know, the habit of being, you know, so nervous to the point where I was, sweating buckets and shaking uncontrollably was to step away from the self-centeredness of it and realize that I am here to be of service.
Thank you.
To be used for a purpose greater than myself.
And I understand that. But the whole thought of, I want to be that person to be able, instead of doing it, wanting it so bad that the nerves kick in. Do you know what I'm saying? Because for me, it's about, I want this so bad.
That, you know, yeah, that, when you say, want this so bad, want is in the future. You're not in the present.
Right.
I want something means I want it up the road there. I'm going to get it up there. It's not being in this moment. And the key is being in this moment. Mm-hmm. In this moment, you're safe. It hasn't even happened yet. You're wanting, you're looking for
100%.
Want says, I have expectations.
Right.
Expectations always, always lead to resentments and lead to fear.
Or disappointment.
Or disappointment.
I think that there is a place for that. I think that there's a very similar energy that you can shift. With the want, you can shift that into positive visualization. So before you step on stage, before you, you know, perform in any capacity, sit and take a minute or 5 minutes to yourself and visualize the desired outcome of how you would like it to be, and not only visualize it, but feel it. You know when you go on stage and you feel like you fucking nailed it, like you really just killed it, and that feeling of pure elation, and you know you're so proud of yourself. Cultivate that feeling within yourself before you go on stage, so that when you're done, you will have already brought yourself up to that vibrational frequency, and it's just, you know, it's just a matter of matching it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? That's great.
So I think that it's just, it's the exact same energy. It's just a matter of like harnessing it and using it in a different capacity.
Right.
I think it's the same, you know,
focusing
it. Really, I think it's the same for me with, a jealousy. I've never really been a jealous person. If I see something that somebody else has or something that somebody else has achieved, I don't covet it and say, why them, not me? I want that. I look at them and I say, oh, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that energy and I utilize it in a way that works for me, and then I move towards that.
And that's a very familiar place for most people. I'm guilty too. When you see other people go, oh, why do they have that? I can do that too. I want that.
Yeah,
I think that's a very important message.
Yeah. Right.
For people to hear.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I mean, I think that we, and this goes back to meditation as well, is it's just, it really is just focusing your energy and getting really clear about your life's intentions. Because we all experience the same energies. We're all in this shit show that is life together, fumbling our way through it, trying to figure it out day by day. And it's just, it is a matter of going towards what feels good, going towards a place of service, and coming back to yourself, coming back to your truest, most authentic version of yourself, and just going with the flow of life.
Yeah, really. And you're absolutely right. But you also have to recognize that there is a part of you that really wants the shit show. There's a part of you, I'm going to put first person.
You mean addiction?
Well, there's a part of me that actually believes that the negativity is a part of my identity. Let me just, I'm going to break it down even more.
Because you're
Scorpio. Come on now.
Well, no, it's a human trait, which is a lot of us can't, or always looking for the other shoe to drop. They're always looking for...
Waiting for it to end?
Well, looking for, waiting for it to end, or you have, you... What Jeffrey said
example.
is perfect. You know, look for your higher self, go to who you truly are, which is the power of the universe manifested as in a human form to experience this. But there is also this other element that you cannot ignore, which there is the saboteur is there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go on and think that the saboteur is just going to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to acknowledge it and understand what its techniques are. The saboteur always wants to get you alone, always wants to get you alone so that other people can't tell you how beautiful you are or, that's why isolating is such a bad thing.
Absolutely.
For people. Now, in certain doses, when you meditate, and you know, we talk about meditation on this podcast a lot. I want people to understand it's not as difficult as we've been led to believe it is.
It truly isn't.
It's a very small, simple technique. What it is if you can understand these words, and your brain actually cannot because we're programmed to not understand these words, which is you are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The real you is the awareness of your thoughts.
Absolutely.
So when you are just aware that you're thinking, that part of you that is aware that you're thinking, that's who you really are. Mm-hmm. And once the musculature we're talking about is building up that consciousness, and it's and in the Eckhart Tolle books, he talks about looking at a mouse hole, you know, in the floorboard, waiting for the mouse to peek its head out. So you're looking at the floorboard and you see the hole. I said hole, yes. And you're sort of looking at it, and any second now, the mouse is going to peek its head through.
Or the gerbil.
Mm-hmm. Or the gerbil. Or the butterfly.
Or the butterfly. Yeah. Your thoughts is that mouse. So you look at it, and you're aware that you looking at that hole, that is your consciousness, that awareness. That's who you are. And your thoughts is that mouse. Mm-hmm. And that quietness, that sort of anticipation, everything else falls away because you're focused on the whole, as you should be.
As you should be.
Yes. Focus on the whole.
If you always focus on the whole, life will be good.
Life will be good.
You will not make any mistakes.
Yeah. You may be paying a lot of alimony. You don't have to marry the whole.
No. You just got to look at it.
You just got to look at it.
Pay attention. Please don't marry the whole. That's when everything goes wrong.
Why do people always marry the hole?
Because they're stupid.
You know,
it's their ego.
Well, but also once you get caught up in the hole, you know, your pH balance changes and chemistry,
you become
and
you're
like acidic. Going, oh, I want this hole for myself. Yes. Oh, I want this hole.
The hole is where it's at.
Yes.
And everybody knows that.
Oh my God, it's so telling though, because on Judge Judy, people sue each other. We were together. We met online, and he had just gotten out of prison, and so he said he was gonna pay me back because he had to pay some. He was in arrears on his child support, so he borrowed the money from me. And Judge Judy's always like, okay, he was in prison. That's first thing.
That's hot.
And then he doesn't have a job. How is he going to pay you back?
Right.
You know, but people get caught up in that because they focus on the whole and it feels so good. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole other hole.
Can I ask you something slightly off topic?
Yes. Wait. But first, let me say something. Hold that thought, because this has to do with the hole.
Okay.
Right. As long as you don't grab the hole without permission and brag about it to Billy Bush. Access Hollywood. Then we're all good.
Listen, it was a hot mic. Okay? Give the guy a break.
Boys talk.
Explain to me your draw to or the appeal of Judge Judy. Because my mother loves it. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend loves her very, very much so.
Yeah.
I've never really sat down and watched full episodes, but whenever it's been on in the background for me, it seems like it has elements of negative vibrations to it.
Right.
So I've never gone towards
that. I understand that.
So I'm just very curious to know what is it.
She's an acquired taste.
Well,
Rue likes that taste.
Yeah, but not only that, but I've been asked this question before and I know the answer to this.
Okay.
This is the thing, is that in civilization, as a civil society, there is a code of ethics that we have all been taught, even subliminally and just as humans, as civility. You say, yes, thank you. No, ma'am, sir. Oh, no, after you. May I get you another glass of water? Says, no, actually, I'm fine, but thank you very much.
Can I get a what?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get an amen?
So what happens is when people break that protocol, it's more and more as our society goes on, you find that people need to be brought back into the protocol of what civility is about.
Okay.
So when people have broken it so much to the point where they need to go to small claims court, they can't be told, oh, you must refrain from speaking or you must refrain from smoking. It needs to be broken down. So you know what? You need to put that cigarette out.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? Shut up. You know what? This ain't about refrain. This ain't about refraining from speaking. This is about, you better shut your damn mouth. You know, that's where, when you wind up in small claims court and Judge Kuchar, you need to be told, and it needs to be broken down for you.
All right.
And she is the auteur or the arbitrator of that vernacular. I was talking about the civility.
Okay.
She knows. Yes. Thank you. Would you like another glass of water? No, thank you. But thank you for asking. That type of civility, which gets broken down, especially when you wind up in small claims court, she understands that. And she is the gatekeeper of that civility.
Okay.
And she understands the fact that you're in small claims court means that your ego has taken over and you need to shut the F up and let somebody who really knows how things is going
intervene
and say, this is, oh, I'll tell you who's wrong.
Okay.
You made a wrong turn right there when you assumed that
there's also
you
didn't element too.
Right, there is that
the
element.
The sassiness to it.
But I understand what you're saying,
right,
too.
Because she has these, you know, she holds these sage rules of life, essentially.
Yes.
Like the civil way to operate in the world
on a daily
basis.
If it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Her approach isn't necessarily that tactful or kind or graceful, or graceful though, from what I can see. So I've just always been curious as
to
what...
Well, that's why.
Okay.
That's
why. But I can say that I've always been drawn to you because the, you know, the gay culture and the world of drag can be quite biting and cutting and bitchy at times. But you've always, from what I've been drawn to you for, has been specifically that you've always gone about it in a way that, as you say, sassy but never bitchy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you, there's a level of grace and kindness and a beauty to how you operate in the world. So you can exist in this world, but like be a beacon of light.
Yes.
And, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like you let your light shine and it affects others and it influences and impacts others and inspires others to be a lighter versions of themselves.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily see that from Judge Judy. From what I've seen, maybe I need to sit down and watch
that episode. It's not for everybody.
No, yeah. Well,
I'm just curious.
But that thing that you're describing, that's not why I tune in for it. I tune in for it for the other thing. In fact, the part two to the reason I'm so attracted to her is that she looks just like my mother.
Oh,
she looked and acts just like my mother did. She, same cheekbones, same sort of Beethoven sort of hairdo, same skinny long neck, same facial proportions as my mother. And my mother was that same, no BS, straight shooting, person. And I love that.
Amazing.
It's like going to see Mama.
Have you had her as a judge on the show
yet?
No,
I haven't. But
that's an epic get, Rue. A must.
I sat next to her on an airplane 20 years ago, back when she used to fly domestic. Uh-huh. She's got her own plane now.
She flies back and forth between New York and LA to do the show, doesn't she?
On her own plane.
Yeah.
Because she makes...
Kardashian
50,
money.
Yeah. More than that. Yeah. She makes $50 million a year.
Wow.
On just that show.
Wow.
And so, but she sat next to me on a plane once and couldn't have been more lovely.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't. And she is a lovely, lovely person, but she knows her job when she sits on that judge's table is to break it down because the people who stand before her need that. You can't pussyfoot.
Thank you very much.
It's kind of like Michelle on Drag Race. Is that what we're saying, essentially?
No,
yes,
you
can't. Howard Stern behind the microphone.
Sometimes
you have a job to do.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And somebody's job is going to be that.
Okay. Yes.
And Judge Judy's is that. Mine is mine. Howard Stern's is Howard.
Is she a Libra? Where are you?
She's Libra.
She is.
Yeah, she's
the balance of the scales.
She is just October 21st.
That's my birthday.
October 21st.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Isn't that interesting that somebody who shares the birthday as me, I have a hard time understanding.
Libra, that she's the scales, and that her name is Judith.
Yes.
Judith. Justice. Judith. Get it?
Interesting.
It was Bashir.
It's Jeffreth.
It's Bashir.
How do you take justice into Judith?
To justify.
Where's Judith? And just because of the J?
Judge.
Baloney, Michelle. But Lord, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
So you watch the show.
Judge
you
Judy?
Watch the show.
Yeah, I'm not. Rue's obsessed. It's like the only show that Rue watches that. Yeah. And the Prophet, is it?
I watch The Prophet. I watch, I love Adam Ruins Everything, which is my new favorite show that I love.
Adam Goldberg.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's a show on True TV where he debunks common myths.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I love watching...
Unreal.
Unreal.
Which comes on when? When does it come on, Unreal?
Well, we are going into our third season starting at the end of January. It's not on Netflix.
Why?
You can watch the first season in its entirety on Hulu.
Are you on the first season?
Yes. Yeah.
People don't buy Hulu.
You can give me my password. Passcode.
There you go. Thank you.
You can watch the first season on Hulu. You can watch both seasons. Yes, yeah. That were sent out with the Emmy package.
Yeah.
You can watch both seasons on iTunes. You can download both seasons from iTunes.
Okay.
But we start our third season at the end of January, and that will start airing June 2017.
And what's that like for you? Because you're not the nicest character.
My character is the nicest out of the bunch, I would say. So, you know, he's been lauded as the moral compass of the show.
But Jay has his moments.
So the premise of the show, for those who don't watch it, it's behind the scenes of a reality dating competition
kind
program.
Kind of like Bachelor.
You said it, not me.
Yeah.
So yes, a show just like that. So
it's hilarious.
Thank you. I play a producer on the show, on a reality show. I have a group of, 10 girls, 10 female contestants, all vying for the love and attention of affection of the suitor, a.k.a. our bachelor of the season. So it's my job, essentially, to manipulate these girls into doing and saying and behaving in all sorts of zany and wild and horribly inappropriate ways in order to get good sound bites and good ratings on the show. So the show itself is fantastic. I think that the writing is genius. I am obsessed with my cast members, Constance Zimmer and Shiri Appleby. They are two of the strongest actors that I've ever worked with in my entire life. And being on the show, I mean, it really is a culmination of every intention that I've set since I was a child and every intention that I had set since starting working as an actor. The character of Jay was rewritten for me. Which was written
originally for?
No, it was written. It was how the character was written.
Oh,
so
I see,
the character was written when I originally read for it and tested for it and shot the original pilot. He was a straight womanizer. He was, he would sleep with the contestants. He was kind of a hustler.
Which you probably could have done too.
Which
I
thank you. And yeah. I did. Mm-hmm. I did that in the original pilot. And then when they shot the original pilot, the Unreal is based on a short film called Sequin Rays, which the creator of the show, Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, it's based on her experience from working as a field producer on The Bachelor.
Yes.
A nice Jewish girl.
Sarah Gertrude Shapiro. Yeah. Oh, what are you talking about?
Who worked on The Bachelor. So she wrote a short film about her experience on The Bachelor, went to South by Southwest, won some phenomenal awards, Lifetime bought it and developed it into Unreal. The short film was very dark, very biting, just something really juicy about it.
Well, the show's biting, too.
The original pilot wasn't, though. It was much more comedic and almost sitcom.
Really?
Like, yeah. So when the network saw that and saw that it wasn't the tone that we were going for originally, they did some recasting, rewriting. They called me at my house and said, after spending time with you behind the scenes and getting to know you personally, Jeffrey, we like you better than we like Jay, essentially. So let's write Jay after you.
Uh-huh.
So going into the first season of the show, they wrote him as a gay man. As an openly gay man and one who was very strong in his morals and, operates in this world of reality television and everlasting, getting his job done and manipulating these characters in a way that will rise in the ranks and get that juicy footage that he needs for reality TV, in a way that he's not throwing his contestants under the bus and selling his soul in the process. So, playing this character has been beyond a dream come true for me. Having the opportunity to play an openly gay character where his sexuality isn't the focal point of the storyline by any means, is everything that I've ever wanted in a television series. From the time that I was a child watching television, I never saw it. I never saw any positive representations of gay characters in television and film where, they weren't the punching bag,
right?
Or I never had the opportunity of seeing anybody on a gay character on television where I could just say, oh, that's just like me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an extreme version of me, or that's not that's me right there. So
right.
It was always very much a clear intention for me from the time that I was very young to become that. And that's where that goes back to what I was saying before. You asked me what I was doing right before I shot Unreal. I took a break from acting because I found myself playing far too many characters where I wasn't being of service, where I wasn't happy what I was doing, where I was, taking jobs for the sake of taking jobs for the paycheck or for the sake of my team because they thought, oh, it's a good job. You should go in and meet with this director or it's great to get in line with these producers or whatever it was. I wasn't happy doing these jobs.
Right.
I felt like I wasn't staying in line with my intentions that I had set so clearly from a very young age. It wasn't being on set and playing these straight characters once the director called action. It was a breeze. I could step into character. I could take on this person's persona and I could be this hyper-masculine straight guy, whatever it is that you need me to be in the moment. It was afterwards when the director would call cut and I could feel that me stepping back into my authentic self was making people around me uncomfortable.
Right. I understand that, but couldn't you do both, though? I mean, I feel like, you know, there are roles that, I think about the old Hollywood system where these great black actors would play maids, or later in the 70s, they would play prostitutes or something, you know, mm-hmm. sort of stereotypical, whatever the business called for. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, step into their own lives and have, you know, be bigger than those characters. You know, there's this call, there's a certain consciousness that, and I understand what you're saying, there's a certain consciousness that says, you know, I don't want to demean my brand or my art or mm-hmm. my gift with something that is beneath me. You know what I mean? I remember when Good Times was on, both the leads, both Esther Rolle and John Amos.
Yeah.
They left the series because they and the public and the NAACP or the mm-hmm. IWC, they all said that JJ's character was demeaning to as a representation of young black men.
Okay,
and so they left. And I think they eventually came back.
Didn't Florida die? And then
some, I think James died, something like that. But the bigger point is, at what point are you able to separate the business? This is a paycheck mm-hmm. as opposed to, oh, I need to do something that is meaningful to my community. When the truth is, it's a sitcom.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a sitcom.
Right. Absolutely.
It's meant to make people laugh.
Right.
You know?
You know, I think what it came down to for me was just, I'm very much an open book. I'm very comfortable in my own skin. And I saw far too many examples of well-known actors or, you know, actors that I've come up with, and I won't name names, but people who have put themselves in that position where they identify as homosexual, they are playing heterosexual characters on television and film, and then they feel this incredible pressure to keep up this false persona for the public eye.
Off camera? Mm-hmm.
Off camera. Mm-hmm. It is exhausting.
Yeah.
The extreme amount of emotional turmoil
so
that I see
authentic.
Them existing. It's not,
you know?
It's not authentic.
Yeah.
I tried it. I gave it a shot to see what it was like. It mm-hmm. didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I made the decision to step away from that and to know that I never wanted to put myself in a position where I wouldn't be able to walk down the street holding my boyfriend's hand.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, I never wanted to end up on the cover of a tabloid saying, "Oh my God, Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is gay." It's like, well, yeah, we all know this.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I thought it was so much easier to just always be out as opposed to having to come to a point in my career where I would have to make this proclamation to the world.
Right.
I'm gay,
yeah.
you know, and then have to deal with the backlash or the acceptance or whatever it is that comes after
that's
that.
Smart
yeah.
too.
You know,
yeah.
I get that.
It's what felt right for me. I don't think that there's anything wrong with, I absolutely encourage gay actors to play straight characters. I would like to play straight characters as well. I just don't want, I'm just not willing to take the narrative back a couple decades to the place where gay actors couldn't be their authentic selves
sure.
in their daily lives without you know without dealing with some pretty harsh judgments.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you
hey,
know what
man, you know what? And it could regress back there in the snap of a finger.
Yeah.
In my own lifetime, I've seen you know we've made some great progresses mm-hmm. in our culture, but you know I remember when disco was king. We thought that was going to last forever.
Right.
I know it.
You know, tight polyester pants, men dancing with the shaking their ass, and then overnight, it regressed backwards, and we got Reagan up in office.
So I was going to say, it could happen as quick as an election.
Absolutely.
Yes.
One election is all it takes, and it's all regressing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess I'm interested in telling stories that are going to change the narrative and are going to be of service to the little boys who were like me watching television and seeing a version of themselves and saying, oh my God, me too.
I love
it. You know, that's where my intention is.
Well, that's what you are doing, Jeffrey Boyer Chapman on Unreal. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Oh, Rue, this was a dream come true. Thank you so much for having me. I have the utmost respect and admiration and love for both of you. I think that what you do here every day is you are being of service. You are shining your lights. You have an extraordinary impact on my life. And if you impact me this way, it only makes sense that you impact the millions of other people who are listening every day. I love you both. Thank you for vibing on the same frequency as me and for inviting me into this world, into your home, into this family.
You're always
it means
welcome.
The world to me. Thank
always
you.
Always welcome.
I love you too, Michelle.
All right, Michelle Visage.
All right, RuPaul. Charles.
Bye.
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 Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.